Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1254. Beginning with verse 13, we'll read through verse 20. We'll read these verses responsively. Please take note of the 18th verse, the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for giving us this great church. And perhaps we are blessed above all people on the earth. I just think this is the best place on earth. It's the best church on earth. And you've given us the best preacher of anybody that we could have. And so as we count our blessings, help us to be aware of the very fact that we owe thee so much. We certainly owe thee to listen to your word as it's preached this morning. Give us care to hear the word and give power to our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, Holy Father, we come to preach the word of God. What a wonderful book. I marvel at it. I've been studying it for all these years. And every time I read it, something fresh and sweet and new comes out of it. Like honey that came from the rock, like manna that came from heaven. Now this morning we investigate another portion of it. Bless our study and our preaching and our listening and our responding. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. I'm going to lay a little foundation, as I often do, with just a tad of a Bible study before I bring the message. Our text this morning is that verse we read a while ago, Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now listen carefully. I've heard preachers preach on this, said don't drink an excess of wine. That's not what that's talking about. God is not saying here, be not drunk with wine, though wine wherein is excess. He's not saying be not drunk with an excess of wine. One drop of alcoholic beverage is sinful. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. The excess here is not talking about the excess of wine. It's talking about the excessive Christian life. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, if you'd read to go back 10 or 12 verses, you'll find he's talking about the walk with God. The book of Ephesians talks about the Christian walk. And listen to me now, about the Christian walk. And that Christian walk is more than the normal walk of life. It is the life in excess. So what God is saying here is don't get your excessive life from wine. He's saying get your excessive life from walking with God. That's what he's saying. Be you not drunk with wine. Not talking about the excess of wine. Alcoholic beverage is wrong. A drop of it is wrong. To touch it is wrong. Bible said don't put the bottle to your neighbor's lips. Your brother's lips. Don't put the wine to it. Don't even touch the wine bottle. To touch the bottle is wrong. Please do not take notes while I preach now. Just put your pens up. Listen to me as I talk to you. What he's saying, the entire fifth chapter of Ephesians is talking about living a Christian life that is above the routine. He's talking about the walk with God. And so when he said, let me paraphrase it. He said, be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, you can get an excessive life by wine.
You can live a higher life by wine, but don't get your excessive life that way. Get your excessive life by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that I've taught you that, and by the way, that's worth coming for. But now that I've taught you that, I want to preach to you this morning on the excessive life, or the life wherein is excess. Now listen carefully as I... Let me get this microphone here. And listen carefully as I talk to you about a life wherein is excess. I'm going to make seven statements. I want you to get very, very carefully to lay the foundation for the last hour and a half of my message this morning. And Bob, you're lying through your teeth. You'd be asleep after 15 minutes. That's why you want me to go an hour and a half, isn't it? Bob has insomnia, has to come to church to get cured from it. But anyway, I'm going to make seven statements. Listen carefully. Number one, every man has a desire for a higher life. That is as natural as the desire for food. It is as natural as the desire, listen to me, as natural as the desire for water. Every man has an innate, God-given desire for a higher life. Statement number two, every man has a God-given, innate desire for a life after death. You can go to the places where Dr. Evans has been, you go anywhere you want to in the world. And men have an innate desire to live after they die. So, man, first thing I said, every man has a desire for a higher life. Second thing I said, every man has an innate desire for a life after death. A loftier life than this after death. Statement number three. Hear me carefully. Every man has a desire not to wait for it. Every man has a desire to have a part of that life after death while he's here on earth. Statement number four. He wants life more abundant. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Every man has a desire for more than he has. Everybody in this room wants something better than you have now. You want something more than the mundane, routine, normal walk of life. It's a natural desire for you to first want to live after death, and it's a desire for you to want to go out and take that after-death life and bring it back to this life so you can enjoy the after-death life, at least a portion of it here. For example, when the Israelites came to the Kadesh Barnea, they sent the 12 spies out into the Promised Land, and they brought back from the Promised Land some pomegranates and some grapes to show the Israelites what was over there in the Promised Land. Now, they had a desire to have here in the wilderness some of what was over there. And every man in this room today, every person in this room, has, you first place, you want to go to heaven. But more than just wanting to go to heaven, you want heaven to come to you also a little bit. And there is an innate desire for you to live above the mundane earthly life. That means, statement number five, every man wants a life wherein is excess. Let me say it again. Every man wants a life wherein is excess. Now, where you try to get that excess life is different from somebody else, maybe. But everybody who's ever walked the face of this earth wants more than the 8 hours a day at the factory, 8 hours a day at the job, come home and eat and go to sleep. Every man wants more than that, more than the mundane, regular, normal routine of life. Now, I said, number one, every man has a desire for a higher life. I said, number two, every man has a desire for a life after death. I said, number three, every man has a desire not to wait for that after-death life. Number four, he wants that after-death life now, a portion of it now. Number five, he wants a life wherein is excess. Number six, hear me carefully, this hunger is God-given. God has given you a hunger to want more than just what the normal things of life are. And God's given you, it's a God-given hunger. Number seven, God doesn't want us to wait until heaven for heaven. That's what the scripture means. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now let's let this be life on earth. Here we are living our life here, and that's heaven over there. Here, this is not permanent. Heaven is permanent. We want to go to heaven where it's permanent, but we have no continuing city here. But we seek one to come. We can't go there till we die. So God wants us to come over here and take some of heaven and bring that some of heaven back over here so we can have a little heaven on earth. That's what the Lord's Prayer means. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Fanny Crosby meant when she wrote, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She said just to have Jesus is a little bit of heaven down here on the earth. That's what John Peterson meant when he wrote, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. He's saying, I'm down here on earth. I want to go to heaven someday, but before I get to heaven, I want some of heaven down here on earth. Listen, wake up now. I've used this illustration many times here, but we like Mexican food. We like enchiladas and tortillas and whatever happened to tamales. These stupid Mexican restaurants up here don't have tamales. I like tamales. So would you write the, what's that name of that, Chi-Chi's restaurant and tell them, I want tamales. But I like Mexican food, such as pizza and French fries. I like Mexican food. I love it. Now, what you go over here to the Mexican restaurants, and what they've done is this. They've gone to Mexico and brought some of Mexico up here. So, though we're not in Mexico, some of Mexico is brought up here. Hey, that's what First Baptist Church is. We've gone over here, and we're not in heaven yet, but we've taken some of the pomegranates and grapes of heaven and brought them over here. You know why? They praise up in heaven, so we praise God here. And they sing up in heaven, so we sing here. And they laugh up in heaven, so we laugh here. And they don't sleep up in heaven, but we sleep here. But I'm saying that's what we've done. Now, every man, this is earth, every man, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. When we all get to heaven, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. You may call it the happy hunting grounds. You may call it whatever you want to call it, but every man has a desire to live forever. So we look over there and see it. But we say, good night, we can't wait. It's like a child wanting to open the Christmas present before Christmas. I never was surprised what my mother got me. I unwrapped it on Christmas for the second time. But we can't wait. I'm going to heaven someday. But bless God, on my way, I'll reach over and get some heaven and bring it over here. And that's what it's talking about. And the Bible calls that life which is wherein is excess. Now, God has given us a desire for that life which wherein is excess. A desire for the next world in this world now. Now listen carefully. There are several ways that you can get that life wherein is excess. One is liquor. I've never tasted a drop of liquor, but I've talked to a lot of people that have. And the truth is, if you get drunk, that is, they say, life wherein is excess. It's a better life. I'm advocating liquor this morning. What we're going to start serving Jack Daniels at Lord's Supper. No, but I am saying that the reason that you get drunk and the reason you drink it is so you can have life that is wherein is excess. That's what it's all about. Drinking liquor is a spiritual experience. Not a godly spiritual experience, a satanic spiritual experience. But it does give you an increase, hear me carefully now, it gives you an increase in your quality of life. Right, truck drivers? Now, there's another way you can have life wherein is excess, and that's through drugs. Why do folks take drugs? Because it is a spiritual experience. Not a godly spiritual experience, but a satanic spiritual experience. But it does give you life which is elevated. It is life wherein is excess. So as man looks at this world and says, I'd like to have something higher than this. I'd like to have something above this. He says, I want something wherein is excess. I want excessive life. I want more life. So he goes out and he gets some liquor and he's lifted above what he is now. Listen to him now, no talking. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. And he lifts himself above this normal life, and he's living a life where in his excess. Or he goes over here and he gets some drugs, and he takes some drugs, and he gets high on drugs. And what does it do? It gives him a temporary satisfaction of that life wherein is excess. Well, it may be liquor's not his thing or drug, but it may be rock music. Rock music is as much narcotics. If you never take any heroin, never take any marijuana, it'll give you that life wherein is excess. It makes you as drunk as liquor will. It makes you as high as drugs will. And though, by the way, you go to rock concerts and you'll get all three. But I'm saying rock music is nothing more than somebody's desire to get higher than this world is. Life wherein is excess. So God has given us a life, and God says, I want you to live a life wherein is excess. And so man has that desire given by God to live a life wherein is excess. So he goes and he gets drunk, and he's living a life wherein is excess. And somebody else goes and he takes up. Sometimes he misses the chair, too. And he takes narcotics or drugs. He's living a life wherein is excess. Somebody else says, I'll get high on rock music. And he's living a life wherein is excess. Somebody else says, I'll get high on cigarettes. I hope I don't have too many points here. I'll get high on cigarettes. He's living a life wherein is excess. Or somebody says, I'll get high on illicit sex. And I'll be sex crazed. What is it? It is a life wherein is excess. And I'm not going to stand here today and say that being drunk doesn't elevate you above the ordinary life. I'm not going to stand here and say that taking narcotics does not elevate you to a life that is more exciting than the mundane normal life. I'm not going to stand here this morning and say that smoking cigarettes, drinking liquor, being sex crazed, or listening to rock music does not elevate you to a happier life than the mundane life. Let me tell you, all of it is the desire that God has given man to live above this old life and rise above the life to live a life wherein is excess. All of these are spiritual experiences. Now hear my text. Be ye not drunk with wine for your excessive life, but be ye filled with the Spirit for your excessive life. Be not high on dope for your excessive life. This is good if you listen to it now. Be not high on dope for your excessive life, but be ye filled with the Spirit. God is admitting here that dope is an excessive life. God is admitting here that drunkenness is an excessive life. God is admitting here that the devil can lift you to a life that's more enjoyable than the normal life. God is saying, but don't be drunk with wine for your excessive life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit for your excessive life. Don't listen to rock music for your excessive life. He's admitting it's an improvement over the normal life, but God says, don't do that for your excessive life. Get filled with the Holy Spirit for your excessive life. Hear me carefully. God says you can live a life wherein is excess by drinking, but don't do it. You can live a life wherein is excess by drugs, but don't do it. You can live a life wherein is excess by rock music, but don't do it. You can live a life wherein is excess by narcotics, including tobacco, but don't do it. God is saying you can live a life wherein is excess above in enjoyment the normal life on illicit sex, but don't do it. God said, here's why you shouldn't do it. You can get high on liquor, but you're going to come back down. And you can get high on drugs, but you're going to come back down. And you can get high on rock music, but you're going to come back down. But bless God, you get high on Jesus, you'll never come back down. The difference is not in the fact that the excessive life is not available. The difference is that the excessive life of drinking is temporary, and the excessive life of rock music is temporary, and the excessive life of drugs is temporary, but the excessive life of walking in the Spirit is permanent. You don't get on a high and have a hangover. You get on a high and have a hangover. That's what God is saying. you can. All these are temporary lives. But they are wherein is excess. God never gives us a desire that is not fulfilled. So he tells us a permanent life wherein is excess. The devil says, I'll give you a better life. And he will. He will. The devil says, I'll give you a better life. How long will it last, devil? Well, he said it'll last for a while. I'll give you a life of drunkenness. How long will it last? It'll last for a little while. I'll give you a life of dope. How long will it last? It'll last for a little while. I'll give you a life of rock music. How long will it last? A little while. And Jesus said, I'll give you a life wherein is excess. How long will it last? He said, forever is how long it'll last. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You're a fool to get high on dope. You're a fool to get high on liquor. You're a fool to get high on rock music. You got to come back down. They come to my office every week of my life. The little lady sat there yesterday afternoon with a broken heart because she'd gotten a life in excess and she'd lived a happier life for a while than she would have lived if she hadn't have gone to this excess the devil offers. But brother, she's back down now. She cried so hard she couldn't even talk. She was choking. She had so many tears. Why? I'll tell you why. She chose the devil's excessive life instead of God's excessive life. Actually, it's called the resurrected life. Paul says we are raised with Christ. It's called the resurrected life. You can now, today, in this world over here, before you get to heaven over there, you can live the resurrected life right now. That's what the Apostle Paul meant in Romans 8:11. When he said, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What's he saying? He's saying that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you now from the dead. You said, I'm not dead. A few of you look like it. Because I'm not dead. Yeah, you're not dead, but what God is saying is this. He's saying, if that mighty Holy Spirit of God can reach down and give life to the dead body of Jesus and make those lips that are quiet in death speak and the tongue that's quiet in death speak and the eyes that are closed see and the hands that are crossed the breast use again, the feet that are still walk again. If God can raise the body of Jesus from the dead, He can raise you from a life of doldrums that is dead and dry and raise you to live a resurrected life where it is excess forever. That's what He's saying. He can raise your disposition from the dead. He can raise your love from the dead. He can raise your forgiveness from the dead. He can raise your joy from the dead. He can raise your patience from the dead. He can raise your unselfishness from the dead. He can raise your hopes from the dead. He can raise your uselessness from the dead. He can raise your self-respect from the dead. I don't care today how dead your life is. If you're a child of God, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise you from a life that is dead. You say, preacher, I've done wrong. He'll raise you from the dead. Preacher, my life is wrecked. He'll raise it from the dead. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can quicken your mortal bodies. Illustration. 35 years ago. My Sunday school class was just a little young couples class over in the old building that burned. We had a bowling party one night. It used to be a bowling lanes called the Calumet Lanes down here not far from Hammond High School. I took my couples class there on a party one night, bowling party. After the bowling was over, Ken Frizzell came up and said, Pastor, I have a brother named Randall. He said, Randall is unsaved. I wish you'd pray to get saved. I said, where does he live? He told me. I said, you think he'd be up this late? It's about 11 o'clock. He said, he comes home from work about 12, 11 or 12. I said, let's go see him. Ken Frizzell said, you better not do that. I said, this guy's mean. He said, Randall will come to you whooping you as he will speaking to you. Well, of course, with the muscles I've got, that's no fear for me. So I said, look, Ken, let's go see him. He said, now, preacher, I'll take you over there. But he said, you walk in, he may whip you. I said, let's go try. All the way over, he said, don't be surprised. He's sweating. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. I said, okay, okay. He said, Pastor, preacher, don't tell anybody you'll do. We walked in. You see, I got a partner go soul with me. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he had Randall Frizzell like a little lamb. Listen to me. Listen to me on the front row. Randall Frizzell got saved that night. He has hardly missed a thing in this church for 35 years. For years, he's been on our deacon board. Was at the meeting last night. For years on our deacon board. And you that know him can't believe that he would have a temper. Now, Mrs. Frizzell can believe it. But one of the calmest, mildest, most inoffensive men I've ever seen in my life. What did God do? Raised his disposition from the dead. Oh, you say, preacher, I got a temper I can't control. Yes, you can. You got the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He can raise you from that dirty temper. Yes, he can. You can. Illustration. I'm going to confess something. I'm a temperaholic. I have a temper. Sometimes I wish God hadn't made me so muscular. I could kill people. But I have a temper. I do not remember the last time that I went into a temper tantrum. Miss Colston, you've been with me now for years. You probably haven't seen me three times really have a temper tantrum. Miss Howell's been with me almost 50 years. You probably haven't seen me over 5,000 times have a temper tantrum. What my temper is in remission. Has been for years. You know why? Because I walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit raised me raised my disposition from the dead. Illustration. I'm a winner-aholic. W-I-N-N-E-R. And with this weather, make it W-I-N-T-E-R if you want to. I'm a winner-aholic. I'm the world's worst loser. I think I am. I never have lost, but I think I would be. But that's an remission. I don't get mad. Dr. Rice did. Ms. Howells and I were on a cruise years ago with Dr. Ms. Rice. Played dominoes. He plays dominoes. We played dominoes all the time. We played 100 games, and they won 100 games. One night we played our first game. Ms. Howells and I beat him, and Dr. Rice didn't say a word, just put his dominoes back in the box, got up, left his wife, left us, went to the room, went to bed, and pouted the rest of the night. My temper is in remission. I'm a temperaholic. It's in remission. I'm a winner-aholic, and that's in remission. I'm a stubborn-aholic. Let's go back to the temper. And the stubbornness is in... Well, nobody's perfect. What I'm trying to say is this, ladies and gentlemen. This whole world, go to Las Vegas, and you will increase the enjoyment of life. You will lift yourself in enjoyment above that which is normal, and you will live wherein is excess. You go to the nightclubs in Chicago, and you will live wherein is excess. You go to your rock music concerts, and you'll get lifted up into a frenzy, and you'll get raised up into that which is excess. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to come back down. But God said, do not be drunk with wine for your excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God said, don't go to the rock concert for your excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God is admitting the fact that you have a desire for the excess life. The life wherein is excess. God is admitting that. And God is saying, okay, you can get above the normal fun and happiness if you drink. And you can get above the normal fun and happiness if you're sex-crazed. And you can get above the normal fun and happiness if you take your drugs. And you can get above the normal fun and happiness if you go to your spiritualists and your fortune tellers and your soothsayers. You can do it. But God said, you're going to come back down. But he said, if you, this desire that you have to live there wherein is excess, the excessive life, God said, let me tell you what to have. Be filled with the Spirit, and that'll raise you to an excess that you'll not fall from. And how is this achieved? Very simple. Listen carefully. Number one, stop all the others. Stop all the others. Stop every temporary life wherein is excess. Stop your drinking. You say, I can't stop my drinking. Oh, shut up. You say, well, I'm an alcoholic. Well, then stop it. Well, you don't know what it's like to be an alcoholic. No, but I know Jesus. And he can give you victory over your alcohol. Stop all other life where you're trying to get your excess. Stop your alcohol. Stop your drugs. Stop your cigarettes. Stop your sex-crazed life. Stop your spiritualist life. Stop your fortune teller going to the fortune teller. Stop all of it. Stop it all. Number two, every morning when you get up, first thing, get beside your bed and say, Holy Spirit, control my life today. I yield myself, control my life today. When you finish breakfast, shortly after breakfast, get alone somewhere and look up and say, Holy Spirit, control my life today. When you finish lunch, after lunch, get alone somewhere and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Control my life today. 6 o'clock or after supper or dinner at night, you get alone, look up and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Control my life today. Now you listen to me. Ask a question. You folks that can't get over your temper, have you done that? And before you go to bed at night, the last thing you do is drop beside your bed on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray you'd give me power for today. You do that five... Oh, you say, preacher, I've tried everything. Have you tried that? Huh? You men that are hell cats to live with, and you women who are hell kittens to live with, have you tried that? Well, I just can't overcome my temper. Have you tried that? Have you tried stopping every other life wherein is excess? I wish I could get you to believe the Bible. If I could get you to believe this, not a one of you would be going off sleep right now. Not a one of you. If I could get you just to believe this book. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that book is true. And it works. Anybody in this room today, if you've got some habit, some temper tantrum, anything but stubbornness, God will not deliver you from that. If you've got some temper tantrum, you listen to me. Whatever you've got, you just simply say, I am not any longer going to live the life where it is excess that the devil has to offer. God is saying, I admit that the devil can offer you a life that is happier than normal. But he cannot offer you a life that is permanent and permanently happy. So God comes along and God says, be ye not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be ye not high on dope where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. All God is saying is, this excess life he's been talking about in Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 17, the walk with God, that excess life. God said that excess life that you long for and for which you hunger is available by the devil, but it's only temporary. It's available by God Almighty, and it's permanent. I don't care who you are today. I don't care who you are. You get up in the morning and lay aside all the other things you're trying to get high on that will get you high and will give you a happier life than just the mundane schedule. Lay aside your liquor. Lay aside your cigarettes. Lay aside your drugs. Lay aside your illicit sex. Lay aside your spiritualism. Lay aside all of it. Once you've done that, you get up in the morning, immediately drop to your knees beside your bed and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Control my life today. Do the same thing after breakfast. Do the same thing after lunch. Do the same thing after dinner. The same thing before you go to bed, and mean it with all your heart, and I'll guarantee you, God will put you on a high that'll make the rock concerts look dull. Anybody here wonder if I have more fun than Michael Jackson or Michelle, whichever it is? Anybody here wonder whether I have more fun than Michael Jordan? Anybody been around here for years ever wonder if Hiles has more fun than all these people that are getting high on Satan's spiritual life wherein is excess? That's time some of you folks... Hey, there are two types of people in this room. One, that your life is dull. Just dull. Duller than the narcotic. Duller than the alcoholic. Duller than the rock music crowd. And then there's some of you today who are using the devil's wherein is excess life, and you're happier than the crowd that's doing neither. But thank God there are a few people here today who believe God. And they've said, I'm not going to be drunk with wine wherein is excess life. I'm not going to be drunk with dope wherein is an excess life. I'm not going to be drunk with rock music wherein is excess life. I'm going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And brother, he says, you really going to live it up now. And he says, you'll never have to come down. And this morning, if you're not saved, he'll resurrect your... Ephesians 2:1 says, you have been quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. That same Holy Spirit can resurrect you from hell to heaven. From on your way to burn forever in the torments of a lake of fire to on your way to the glory land. He can resurrect you and give you a new life. To those of you who are already saved, the life wherein is excess for you is the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Would you bow your heads, please?
Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms.